Opening prayer, Brother Nick Cimentero. Our speaker today, our brother Skippy Norman, is back with us. Sermon topic, where are you spiritually? The scripture is Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. Scripture reader is Tommy Claiborne. Presiding at the Lord's table, Wiley Edwards and Charlie Hopkins, Jr. Closing prayer, Greg Newton. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for all the time you allow us to assemble in your name. We're thankful, Father, for this congregation, for what it means to all of us. Rest our blessing, Father, upon all who are here and upon those who had a desire to be here today but were hindered. We pray, Father, that as this meeting gets underway, you will guide us, Father, that we may be able to seek and search for those who are lost, those who want to be saved. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll turn your hymn books to page 971. 971. Sing all three verses.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. We're singing by and by, and by. For in the morning time, you know the saints of God gathering home. We will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. All stars here in plans have failed, disappointments have we failed, and we wandered in the darkness. Heavy-hearted and alone, but we're trusting in the Lord and according to His word. We will understand it better by and by. Singing by and by, and by, Lord, with the morning well, you know all the saints of
carry home, and we Would you bow with me in prayer? Our almighty, our all-powerful, our all-knowing Father God in heaven, our Lord, we bow before Thee this morning, Lord, bowed heads and humbled heart, Father. Thankful, Lord, that You've blessed each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life, Father, another opportunity that upon the first day of the new week, Father, we can openly assemble together, Father, and we can worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we're so thankful for everybody that was able to come out and take part in worshiping Thee this morning, Father. We're so thankful for our family of God and our body of Christ here at Cross Street, Father. We just pray that You'd continue to bless each and every one of us, Father, as we strive to work together as one body in Christ here, Father, and expand Thy gospel and Thy kingdom here, Lord. Our Father, we're so thankful to have our brother and sister Norman back in town with us here, Father, and we ask that You Bless our brother Norman as he's going to stand before us this morning and bring another portion of thy word to us, Father. We pray that you bless him with a good remembrance of the things that he's prepared to bring unto us this morning, Father, and that you'd bless us that'll be listening, Father, with a willing and receptive heart, Father, and that we'd take these things that we'll study and that we'd be able to apply them to our lives, Father, and ultimately become better and stronger and more able servants unto thee, Lord. Our Father, at this time, we're mindful of all those that were mentioned as being sick, Father. We pray, Lord, that these folks that was mentioned are ailed, Father, whether it's physically or mentally or emotionally or sometimes, Father, as we're all ailed spiritually, Father, but we just pray that you'd wrap your arms around each and every one that was mentioned, Father, that you'd bless them with the care and the things that they need to be restored to their normal portion of health and strength. Our Father, we're so thankful for all the many, many blessings of life that you so richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. We know, Lord, that all your blessings are too numerous for us to even try to count, Father, but we know and recognize that all these blessings, all these things, Father, that they all flow from thee. And Father, this morning we're most thankful, Lord, for your grace and love, the grace and love that sent your Son down upon this earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he did, Father, to set the example in all the teachings that he did, Father, and ultimately his willingness to go to the cross, Father, on our behalf, to die the death that he died, Father, and the shedding of his blood, the blood which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father, and his resurrection on that third day, Father, defeating death, Father, and establishing that new covenant for us, Lord. And we're so thankful for Christ Jesus, for his willingness to be that sacrifice for us, Father, that perfect Lamb of God, that shed blood which cleanses us from unrighteousness, Father. And we just pray, Lord, that as we go about our lives, that the things that we say and do, Father, would always be a reflection of our thankfulness unto thee for Christ. And Lord, as we continue in our worship here this morning, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you continue to wrap your arms around each and every one that's here in attendance, Father, that you continue to watch over us, Father, continue to guide us, continue to lead us, that you'd forgive us of those areas where we may have sinned and fallen short, Father, if we repent and turned away from those things, Father. And Lord, we just pray that as we continue in our worship this morning, that all might be conducted decent and in order, Father, and that all might be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee. And Lord, we ask these in all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymnbook to page 504. 504. Sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
When peace like a river ascends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, what
Before we enter into the communion service, do anyone need the bread? If you need the bread, please raise your hand. This is the bread. In Acts 20, verses 7, the Bible reads, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Apostle Paul, ready to depart the next day, preached until midnight. As New Testament Christians and followers of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, we too are commanded to assemble on the first day of each and every week to commune with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, to remember him and to remember what he did for each and every one of us. The Bible reads in Romans chapter 5, verses 8, that God demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Before us, we have two emblems that bring to our memory his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We have the bread that represents his body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and the cup that represents his shed blood that was shed for many. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. Father, we're so grateful and so humble this morning that we're all on the same accord to do your will as you have commanded us to do so, to come together on the first day of the week to give you thanks, to give you praise for allowing your Son, your only begotten Son, to die on the cross when we were not worthy. We're so grateful and thankful that we can partake of this bread that represents his precious body. For it is in Jesus' name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together on the first day of the week, to be able to come together in fellowship, to be able to come together in remembrance, Heavenly Father, to have this opportunity as Christians to reflect back on that day on the cruel cross, to be able to reflect on the cruel treatment that our Heavenly Father was put through, the pain that he had to endure, to know that even though we were yet sinners, that he was willing to give his life to become that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, so that we may have that hope at eternal salvation. And we pray, Heavenly Father, at this time, that as we're about to partake of this fruit of the vine who represents thy Son's precious blood, that we do so in a manner that will be pleasing in his sight. And this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
If anyone was incidentally overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. At this time, we have another commandment. As New Testament Christians, we're commanded to lay by in store, to be prepared to give back unto God the first fruits of our labor upon the first day of each and every week. And as we give back, we should always allow our minds to reflect back to the old rugged cross and remember that God gave us his best, his only begotten Son. Let us bow and give thanks. Father, we are so grateful and so privileged and honored this morning that all of our blessings and all of our good gifts, we know, Lord, that they come from you. And we are so grateful and thankful that we have this privilege to give back unto you in support of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is in Jesus' name that we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
If you would, mark your handbooks to page 858. 858, that would be our song of encouragement this morning. Okay. After marking that, turn to the last couple of middle books right in front of you to page 4. Number 4.
All right.
We'll sing the first and last verse and let us add one of the handstand and 2 seconds. 1 and 4.
Thank you.
Good morning, church. Scripture reading will be taken from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. Once again, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. And the subject of today is, where are you spiritually? Let us now read. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be in first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the right in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. At this time, church, let us give our undivided attention as Brother Skippy Norman bring us a word.
Good morning. Truly, God has really been good to us. He's spared our lives. He's allowed us to be able to make it to this place at this particular time. Thank God for his traveling grace that he has given me and my wife to make it here to this place safely. I want to thank the leadership for inviting us to be able to come back for these few days to share with you God's word. You know, a lot of preachers don't get to come back or go back to their once they left, they don't get to come back, but I'm thankful that we built a great relationship, that we can be able to come back to this place where we met so many friends and built so many relationships, and so we will always cherish that. Just good to see some of these men stepping up that
When I was here, I seen Brother Claiborne and Brother Glenn and Brother Roy. Amen, amen. You just want to encourage all these men, step up, and because that's what it's all about. It's a team effort. Everybody working together as a team. And it's good to see each and every one of you here. And if visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. Again, we're just again thankful to be able to share with you God's holy and divine word. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise eternal Heavenly Father, God, we just again thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings and the opportunity you've given us to share your word. Lord, we just pray that we remove those things that may be a distraction. Lord, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word the things that I say, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where are you spiritually? And that's what we're going to deal with on this morning. It's quite obvious that God already knows where we are. But here is the thing. Here is the challenge for you and I, is that we need to discover where we are today. If you are not a Christian, not sharing our religious conviction, you need to discover where you are with your relationship with God. If you are a Christian, you need to discover where you are today. Because Christian, just because one has been a Christian for many years, does not mean they are mature. When you look at 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, the Bible says, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. It did not say, look at somebody else and see where their faith is. But no, it said, look at yourself to see where you are spiritually, to see where you are in your faith. Because as we examine ourselves, we find out that sometime we need a spiritual overhaul in order to weed out the sources, in order to weed out the issues of how we are mishandling our lives. See, our perspective can get weighed down in bad habits. I'm talking about emotional baggage. I'm talking about pride. I'm talking about unforgiveness. We tend to get lost in the where, in the how, and in the why, instead of focusing on God's will for our lives and how God wants us to grow. And so our ultimate goal is, as a follower of Christ, is to grow more like him. So the question comes, where are we spiritually? Are you growing? Because the Christian life is meant to be one of progress and growth. That's what 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18 says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So how can we know that if we are making real progress or just merely deceiving ourselves with spiritual activities? Well, you are growing as a Christian if you are becoming more like Christ. I'm talking about like Christ and how you think and how you behave, in how you live your life? Are you making progress in your spiritual walk? Are you, as you compare where you are now with where you were last year this time, have you made any progress? Have you become more like Christ this year? Is your thirst to know God greater today than it was this time last year? Do you have a growing desire to know Christ better? Do you yearn to experience more of his grace and of his love? Are you more loving today than you were last year? Are you governed more and more by God's word? Are you more and more willing to forgive others? Are you becoming more and more aware of your sins? Is your faith exciting to you? Or are you bored? Are you disconnected? But how you answer these questions will tell you a lot about your spiritual direction. And so as we look at this, we have to understand that there are times when Christians struggle to grow in their faith. In other words, over time, we see people who were excited about Jesus, they walk away. And maybe you have experienced a lack in your walk this morning where things are not just connecting to you. People will know it just by looking at you. But maybe your faith isn't as quite as strong as it once was. Spiritual growth isn't so much like taking a step after step towards God. See, it's often two steps forward and one step backwards. Two steps forward and three steps backwards. And so we have to understand, am I moving forward spiritually or am I stagnant? Am I moving backwards? You know the answer to that question. But God also knows the answer to that question. And that's why you have to examine yourselves each and every day of your life. Maybe you've had feelings that God is so disappointed in you. In other words, you did that again. You are still struggling with that. I thought we were past this. But listen, it's a cool thing that we see over and over in the life of Jesus. What is that? That Jesus always called people to a higher standard. But he did not destroy them when they fell short. And we need to understand that all of us, somewhere or another, we're going to mess up. We're going to get it wrong. Why is that? Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so Jesus encouraged them to grow. And he's encouraging us today to grow. And if you have not obeyed him, he's encouraging you to obey him today. See, Jesus was the ultimate encourager. He was always cheering people on. Get back up. Let's try again. I believe in you. That's why people were constantly flocking to Jesus. So the question comes this morning, why do I need spiritual discipline to grow in my faith? As a church, we will reproduce not just what we say, but what we do. Understand that. Your spiritual maturity is bigger than you because it impacts others. It's not all about you, but it's about others as well. So the question comes, do you have a faith that will attract others to Jesus, or do you have a faith that will run folks away from Jesus? And that's why we're examining ourselves this morning, because Jesus calls for the church to reach the world. And so that means if you're going to reach the world, you got to get out of these walls of this building to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And so for that to happen, it begins with each one of you growing to spiritual maturity. So let's look at the text. Because there are three things I want to share with you, and this lesson is yours. First of all, let's look at verse 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 5. The Bible says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such and have need of meat and not of strong milk and not of strong meat. The first thing that I want to suggest to you this morning is that if I'm going to grow spiritually in my faith, I need to understand, number one, that a lack of spiritual growth is not supposed to be the standard of the Christian. That's number one. A lack of spiritual growth is not to be the standard of the Christian. This situation sounds bad. But watch this. The Hebrew writer, in the previous section of the chapter, he starts to talk about Melchizedek, the priesthood of Melchizedek. He's quoting this from Psalms 110 and verse number 4. But watch this. Before he expounds on that important Old Testament passage, he needs to make sure that the readers are ready to understand it. So the Hebrew writer, he gets a little harsh with them. What he's saying, in essence, we have a great deal to say about this. It's difficult to explain. Since you have become too lazy to understand. So what did that mean? The folk had gotten to the point where they were no longer trying to understand things. And so the readers are Christians. All right? And so it seemed like they had not given up on God, but rather they had given up on moving forward spiritually. Maybe this morning you are at that situation. You have not given up on God, but you have quit moving spiritually forward. And so we need to understand that. This isn't supposed to be the norm for Christians. We are called to be growing, not just on Sunday, but we are called to be growing every day in our lives. And so one can get to the point where they are just going through the motions of their faith without ever growing. So when you are hungry to grow, everything you learn is exciting. You want to learn more. But here's the thing. Do you not know that it's possible to be at church every Sunday and no longer trying to get closer to God? We can. We can come in here, we can sit so holy every Sunday and drift away from God. So the people needed, they needed elementary truths taught to them, because apparently they had sufficient time to have grown. So in verse 12, the writer says, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk and not solid food. So the author of Hebrews is saying, you ought to be off the ball by now. You ought to be in a state by now. But since you are not in a state, you need to go back to the ball again. I hope this morning that as you are a Christian, as you're growing, I hope that you are still not on milk, but you are on a state. Amen. And so you need to grow up spiritually. Because if you are not intentionally in growing in your spiritual maturity, over time, you're going to drift away from God. It's not that you purposely drift from God. It's not that you intentionally walked away from God. But listen, you just got complacent to the point where one day you wake up and you wonder, how did I get here? How did I drift so far from God? But then, let's jump over to chapter 6. All right, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 through 3 is where we're going to pick up our second point. He says now in Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 1 through 3, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptism, and the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. So the second thing, the reason I need spiritual discipline to grow my faith, number two, is this. God desires is for you to grow spiritually mature. That's what God wants. God wants us to grow spiritually mature. See, we are meant to grow. That's simple as fact. We are meant to grow. We are meant to progress from taking baby steps to confidently running the race and being faithful followers and making disciples. And so, what does it take to grow up and become spiritual mature? The question comes, why do some Christians not grow as they should? That's a good question. Why do we not grow? See, growth is development. It's improvement toward a goal called maturity. And so when one is born again, when he becomes a child of God, he is spiritually immature. All right? But as time passes, he should develop the qualities, the abilities, which the Bible says characterizes the mature. A congregation matures as individual members mature. That's how the congregation matures. Because the congregation is made up of members. And as the members grow, as the members mature, guess what? The congregation is going to grow. The congregation is going to mature. And that's why many problems result when members fail to grow. And what happens is, when you are not growing like God wants you to grow, what will eventually happen, and we have seen it, and that is some go back to the world. They go back to the world. Others will cause strife because of ignorance. And then some become stumbling blocks because of irregular attendance. And so worldliness, indifference, and so the step that each Christian should take to grow spiritually, number one is this. You got to have a desire to grow. I don't care how many preachers, I don't care how many preachers get up in here and preach about growth. It's not going to happen until you desire that I want to grow. You got to have that desire to grow. We will never grow individually. You will never grow collectively unless you want to grow. And so we have to understand that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Some of us would be honest enough to admit that spiritual growth isn't all that important to us. If you admit that, and you already, if it's not important to you, that means something else is important to you. But God needs to be important to you. We're to focus on money. We're to focus on careers. We're to focus on hobbies and Facebook and Netflix, whatever it is. Many times we're to focus on that, and the truth is that we're just not really interested in Jesus. And you know, many times those who don't obey the gospel, they have to admit that really, we're just not interested in obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we got to understand. What we just want to do is just go to heaven someday and be left alone in the meantime. You just leave me alone. Don't bother me. And we expect to go to heaven. You better examine yourself. You better think through what you're talking about. And so we must have a desire to grow, but also we must maintain this desire to grow. It's more to it than just having a desire. You got to maintain that desire to grow. Some members who once want to grow may lose that desire. What do you mean? They may start off on fire for the Lord. All right? But then they lose their zeal. Has that happened to you? When you obey the gospel, man, you were on fire. You were ready to do everything. But over time, you lost that zeal. You lost that passion. And what happens is, they begin to develop a spirit of indifference and negligence. Others develop a level of maturity and stagnant. They are satisfied in thinking no more growth is needed. I've learned five scriptures and I don't need to grow anymore. That's not it. That's not it. You are constantly growing every day. When people develop a burning, a hunger and thirst to work for the Lord, then they will develop the other steps they need to grow. We disobey, and I want y'all to hear me. We disobey God when we refuse to grow spiritually in Him and through Him. Then let that soak in. When you refuse to grow spiritually, you are disobeying God, because He wants you to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I found out many Christians are observers. What do you mean? After watching the preachers, after watching the teacher do their thing, they go home and they criticize the performance while they're waiting for the next performance. That's how some of us are. They don't apply things to their lives. I hear what you say, but I'm not going to do what you say. I hear what the Lord says, but I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to apply what the Lord says. Y'all, we are meant to move forward in our faith and in our service and not be content with just standing still. Our faith is meant to motivate us and to keep us moving forward. Keep us moving on. And we must not be content with mere membership in the family of God. We must not be satisfied with remaining in the nursery. By God's grace, each of us can grow spiritually. Amen. We can grow spiritually, maturity for God's glory, for God's good purpose. Are you living a life of faith? Are you willing to be different? Are you? Will you move forward? Will you allow God to make you and form you and change you in the person He has called you to be? The Hebrew writer reminds us that God desires us to grow. And this is not something that we should want. It's something God wants for us to do. We all want the end results, don't we? We want to be mature and maturing. We want a deep faith. We want not to get ticked off at the drop of a hat. We want to not get stressed out by small stuff. We want to be people who are kind and forgiving and secure in who we are as God's sons and God's daughters. We don't want to be devastated every time someone critiques us. We want to be full of joy. We want for people to say that they look up to us. We want God at the end of our lives to say, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." But here is the problem. We want that, but it's getting there. That's the problem. To do what it takes to get there. That's the problem. We don't want to do what it takes to get there. And then finally, let's go back to chapter 5. As I look at my third point in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14, because I know y'all mind is on food. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14, he says, for every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I need spiritual discipline to grow my faith, thirdly, because it's time to stop trying and start training. It's time to stop trying and start training. Okay? Look at verse 14. Because verse 14 reveals something that's important for us to see. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have the power of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. See, exercise in the Greek means to practice by systematic training. Practice by systematic training. So the passage says, train themselves. They were responsible for training themselves. We are responsible for training ourselves. See, it's not God. It's not the preacher. It's not the parents. Not a small group. Yes, they have a little thing that they do that they train. But listen, when it comes down spiritually, we need to be training ourselves. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in classes that the Word is taught. That's how you train yourself. And so we have a part to play in our growth. The rate of growth into spiritual maturity and wisdom and understanding and knowing the hearts of God and knew how to live in obedience to his will is not dependent upon your physical age, but upon our willingness to submit to God, to grow in Christ and his word. Every one of us is different. Every one of us. It's different. We all have unique gifts. We all have different callings and talents and desires of the heart. And because we are different, we all grow at different speeds. And so we have to remember that some here have exhibited a very strong and mature understanding. But then there are those who have done the opposite. And so we are not merely a sailboat that God's wind push when it comes to spiritual growth. We also have our oars, every one of us. We have our oars in the water. God works with us, and God works through us. And so we have to understand. So to grow, we need to quit trying and start training. Okay? What do you mean? There is a difference between training to do something and trying to do something. There's a difference. Well, what's the difference? Trying is an attempt to do something without necessarily having the skills or knowledge required to succeed. Trying never achieves consistent results. Trying is an attempt to change with minimal commitment. Trying gives you plenty of room to fail. But training is a wholehearted commitment to achieve a specific result. You got to know the difference. When you are trying, you might show up, you might have hope, but training gives you a game plan and a strategy. When you are trying, you give up because it's too hard. You don't feel like it. But when you are training, you don't act according to your feelings. You act according to your commitment. See, training is required for any significant challenge in your life. Whether it's difficult, training always leads to more joy, to more fulfillment. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 through 27, in another translation, he says, "Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away. But we, a crown that will never fade away. Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly, box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body, bring it under strict control, that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified." In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Training methods used to grow in your faith are called spiritual discipline. They are valuable. Why are they valuable? Because they enable us to do what we could not do with the willpower alone. When you look at the for example, discipline. How many of y'all read the Bible every day? Or you just read it on Sunday? This discipline. You got to read the Bible. You got to pray every day. You got to enable God to train us to display the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. What is that? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. If you are going to grow spiritually, you got to decide you're going to train. You cannot just drift in the spiritual training. You must decide that I'm going to do what it takes to grow in the Lord. If you hear this morning, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death. It's the burial. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus had a plan. God has a plan that we all got to follow if we want to be saved. You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Bible says in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to be willing to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. When in the water we gave a baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse number 38. The Lord will add you to his church. Acts 2 and verse 47. The church that he set up on this rock I'll build. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16, verse 13 and following. You got to be willing to obey that gospel. If you're hearing a Christian not been living as a Christian should, maybe you haven't been growing spiritually. I want to leave you with this. How can you refuse God's invitation. How can you refuse the blood of the new covenant? And so, what will you this morning, as you have listened, as you have looked in your life, maybe there's some things that you need to get straight. Now is the time to do it. In other words, what will you do with what you know about Jesus? What would you do about what you know about what you have heard today? You got three choices. You can reject it and say, I don't care what you say. I'm still going to do what I want to do. Well, that's your choice. You go ahead and do it. But there's a consequence at the end. So you can reject it. But then secondly, you can investigate it a little further, see what the word has to say, or you can accept it. You got those choices. But understand Hebrews 9 and verse 27. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this is the judgment. Tomorrow is not promised any man. The only time that you have is today. And understand this, and this lesson is yours. Number one, we each must meet him. We're going to meet him. Whether you're ready or not, you're going to meet him. But then the second thing that you need to understand, we might have to meet him sooner than we think. You might be sitting in here today. You might not be here the rest of the day. You might have to meet him as sooner as you think. But then thirdly, I'll leave with you, is that sooner or later, every one of us is going to run out of time. When God says, time for you will be no more. That's it. I don't care where you are. You can be getting your hair done. When God calls you, ready or not, you are going to go. So the question comes, how will you meet your maker if you are not prepared to meet him? Thank God he's given you an opportunity to get it right today. Don't pass it up. Don't leave this place unprepared to meet God. Don't worry about what other folk think, what other folks say. It's between you and God. What would he say when you stand before him and you hear him say, depart from me. I never knew you. Prepare for the devil and his angels. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Let us stand.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus call out, tendering upon your ear. Sweet in cry of love and pity, Father, turn and listen, stay and hear.
Sweetness, bread of love and peace.